My fault. All right, good morning. It's good to see each one of you here. Let's open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we can gather together and look into your word and to learn a little bit more maybe that we didn't know before. Father, help us to honor you in the things that we do and say this morning. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Well, pop quiz. We're going to use this quiz as an outline for the things that I want to say this morning. Last time I talked to you, we talked about Paul. I'm sorry. This week, we're going to talk about the Apostle John. And hopefully, y'all learned something you didn't know before. Because the Bible is true, we can look to history and historical documents maybe to add a little flavor to the things that the Bible tells us. So, because John was an apostle of Jesus Christ, because he was a man that lived and died, we can look into historical documents and maybe learn a little bit that the Bible doesn't teach. Everything we need to know is in the Bible. But because these were actual historic events, we can glean a little bit of insight maybe from other documents as well. So I've looked to some extra biblical sources for some of the information that we're talking about today. And, you know, I don't use extra-biblical sources as authority or God's Word, but there are truths and things that we can learn from studying history. So this is kind of a historical look at the Apostle John. I'm not really going to go into the things John taught. We're just talking about the man himself. Who was he? What did he do? What did he do after the New Testament record ends? So that's what we're going to talk about. You know, as we go through the quiz, I'll talk about a few things, and hopefully we'll all learn a little bit more. So the first question on the quiz, and I'm not going to grade it. I threatened to, but it's okay. The average score, this is a quiz I took from a source, and it's listed in your document. It's from funtrivia.com. You can go in there and look, and they've got quizzes on everything else, and if I do more Sunday school lessons, I'll probably pick up some more of these. That's where I got it, and a lot of people have taken this quiz, and the average score for everybody that's taken this quiz is 70%, so the bar is not very high. And it is kind of an easy quiz, and I think most of you guys will do pretty good. But again, we're not grading it, it's just I'm using it as an outline here. The first question, traditionally, who were John's parents? And I'm going to read the questions, mostly because we're recording and the people listening to the recording don't have the quiz in front of them, so I'll read them. Who were John's parents? Joachim and Anna. I like this next one. Hilarius and Quieta. Clotilde and Clovis, or Zebedee and Salome? What's the answer here? Zebedee and Salome is the correct answer. And overall, 79% of the quizzers got this one right. Salome is not really named in the scriptures as John's mother. So the source for this is from tradition, both Catholic tradition and Eastern Orthodox tradition identify Salome as John's mother. She is mentioned in scripture a few times. In Mark 15:40 and in Matthew 20:20, mention her name. Again, this is a tradition that's pretty closely held and pretty reliably held by the Catholic Church. So that's the first question. I don't have a whole lot more to say there. Second question, before they met Jesus, in what trade were John and his brother James employed? And the choices are they were bakers, they were farmers, they were fishermen, or they sold cloth. And the answer is they were fishermen, yeah. I was kind of surprised at this, but only 91% of people got this right. I can't imagine anybody getting this one wrong. It's pretty common. There's another choice that could have been added in here. And that would have been perhaps that they were disciples of John the Baptist. And the reason that that could have been a choice is because in the first chapter of John, where it talks about the selection of the first disciples, in verse 40, 41, one of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother, Simon, and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated Christ, and he brought him to Jesus. Now, we all know that John speaks of himself in his gospel in the third person many times. So when he says one of the two, he's identifying that there were two people, two disciples that were with John and listening to John, but he only identifies one by name. So the other one we assume or can assume or infer was John himself, because he always kind of spoke of himself in the third person, as I mentioned. So, that's just an interesting thing about John. And James was John's brother. James was John's older brother. But they were all fishermen. And actually, Andrew, Peter, James, and John were partners in the fishing business, one of the Gospels tells us. So, they knew each other pretty well, very thoroughly, and followed Christ as a group, and they all went together. The third question. John and his brother answered Jesus' call to follow him in the Gospel of Mark, which was the first major city in which they stopped. The choices are Tel Aviv, Capernaum, Lod, or Safed. And the answer is Capernaum, exactly. And 91% of the players in this quiz have answered that one correctly as well. Now, they went to Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and began to teach. That's from Mark 1:21. Mark wrote that the people who heard Jesus speak in the synagogue at that time were astonished by the preaching of Jesus. Fourth question. John, along with Peter and James, was present when Jesus performed a miracle. Which of the following miracles was it? And this story is related in Mark chapter 5. Jesus made a mute boy to speak. Jesus raised the daughter of Jairus from the dead. Jesus drove spirits out of a woman. Or Jesus healed a man who had been injured in a fall. And the correct answer is Jesus raised Jairus from the dead, or the daughter of Jairus from the dead. In Mark 22, Jairus is called one of the officials of the temple, or one of the synagogue officials. And this also is a chapter in which Jesus heals the woman with an issue of blood. Jesus performed many miracles in his life, and John was a witness to many of those and recorded many of those for us. So, this question, 65% of the players answered this one correctly. Next question, is it true-false? So we've all got a 50-50 shot at this. John was present at the Transfiguration. True or false? And the answer is true. In Matthew 17, verses 1 and 2, there's three apostles that are identified. John, with Peter and James. 6 days later, after an event, 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John his brother and led them up on a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. 83% of the players got this question correct. Now, there's been a lot of discussion about where this took place. The events immediately preceding this event took place in Caesarea Philippi, which is a city in the northern part of what was then Israel, north of the Sea of Galilee, a considerable distance, but in the wilderness in what's probably now real near the border of Lebanon. The identification of the mount that this took place on has been in some dispute. There is a church on top of Mount Tabor, which is near Caesarea Philippi, which tradition holds is the location of the Transfiguration. In fact, at the top of this mountain, there's a church that the Franciscans built, and it's called the Church of the Transfiguration, located on Mount Tabor. Mount Hermon also is listed as a possibility. It's a much higher mountain, and because the scriptures say it took place on a high mountain, there's a lot of people that believe that the Transfiguration may have taken place on Mount Hermon, which is a little bit north of Mount Tabor, and it's actually about 10,000 feet in elevation, so it's a pretty high mountain in the area, and it is actually the highest mountain in that area. There's other places where the Transfiguration could have taken place, and each one has its own supporters and detractors. So if you're interested, that area, that could be a study. Didn't find a whole lot of support for any of the locations other than Mount Tabor or Mount Hermon. But we don't know. But the important thing is that, again, this is a historical event that took place. So the next question, when Jesus went to pray in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was accompanied by James, John, and Peter. The hour was late. What happened to the disciples? They got sick, they got hungry and started to eat, or they were attacked by a badger, or they fell asleep. If you answered they were attacked by a badger, we'll talk later. The correct answer is they fell asleep. And 96% of the players actually answered this question rightly, and that's the highest percentage of any of the questions. Matthew 26:40 says, "And he came to his disciples and found them sleeping." Jesus had asked them to pray. We're asked many times to pray for those around us, for our families, for those in leadership. And the scripture identifies several times that we should be praying for this, that, or the other thing. And we need to make sure that we're listening to Christ when he tells us to pray and not falling asleep. That's the one thing that we as Christians do that actually carries weight, I believe, in heaven, and I think God waits for us to pray, and there's a whole Bible study that could go into that. So, we need to make sure that we're not falling asleep in our prayers. We need to make sure that we're praying. So, question 7, and I'm going through this a lot faster than I thought I would, so we might have a lot of time for fellowship. But question 7. In Christ's dying agony on the cross, he commended someone to the care of John. Who was it? The choices are Mary, Joseph, Andrew, or an orphan, and the correct answer is Mary. My mother took a tour of the Middle East years ago, and one of the places that they stopped was in Ephesus. And in Ephesus, there's a building that's considered to be the home of Mary, where she lived until she passed away, and the date of her passing is not really known. The Catholic Church recognizes this as the place where Mary lived after she left Jerusalem, and the tradition is that John, while he stayed in Jerusalem for a while in the church there, but when the church was dispersed, he took Mary. The scriptures say that John took Mary into his household, and she was there ever after. So John took Mary to Ephesus when he went to live and minister in Ephesus. And he used Ephesus. John used Ephesus as his home base for his ministry, largely in that area. Now, Ephesus is in northern Turkey, in what is northern Turkey today. But the house has been rebuilt and is a chapel now, and is a place of pilgrimage for Catholics, and has been visited by a few popes. But It's there. Again, this is a historical event, and we can look at history to see, not to prove the Bible. The Bible's true, but the Bible is, shows us things that we can also find in history, and I think that's important. The next question number 8. In the first century, Christians were often subject to persecution. What torture did John endure at the hand of the Roman Emperor? Domitian? And this occurred late in his life. The answer, the choices are beatings with a mace, hanging by his feet, boiling in oil, or stretching on the wheel. And the correct answer is boiling in oil. And 38% of the players got this question right. Tradition has it that John was survived this incident of boiling in oil and did so in a miraculous way that he wasn't even harmed after being immersed in the pot of boiling oil. But after that occurred, John was exiled then to the island of Patmos, and he spent a year there, during which it was revealed to him what is recorded in the book of Revelation. John was one of the writers of the New Testament that wrote a number of books. 1st, 2nd, 3rd John are attributed to John. The Gospel of John, of course, and also the book of Revelation. Only Paul wrote more books of the New Testament than John did. But John's life wasn't necessarily easy. There were other times when he was imprisoned, when he gained miraculous escapes. The Bible gives us those stories. But John, like most of the Christians in the early part of the Christian history, there was a lot of persecution. That's what drove them out of Jerusalem and into the rest of the world. And even when they went to other places, they were persecuted and hounded and run out of town and tarred and feathered, if you will, for a more modern description. But, there was a lot of hardships if you were a teacher of Christianity. The existing religions didn't want to change. The existing governments didn't want the challenge of allegiance that the church provided. So there was a lot of persecution, and all the way through the entire part of the first century, the apostles, and I'll talk more about that in a little bit, but the apostles endured a lot of hardship and persecution at the hands of governments and churches and villages and just other people. Question number 9. John spent many years in Jerusalem. Later, he preached the gospel throughout Asia Minor. And you ought to get this one because of the things I've just said. The last years of his life were spent in what city? Ephesus, Riata, Damascus, or Yeriver? I don't know. I even sit and practice these things before I come in, and I still can't say them right. But the correct answer is Ephesus. That's correct. And 64% of the players got this correct. Now, I mentioned that John was exiled to the island of Patmos, but he didn't spend the end of his life there. And there's a tradition that says that John in Ephesus, when he was old, and that's a place he returned to after his exile, when he was old and on his deathbed, that in his sick room, John's disciples were taking care of him at the end of his life. And there's a tradition that says that Jesus himself came back with John in his sick room, and the disciples, John's disciples, were not able to go in and minister to him because of the presence of Christ, that there was a bright light flash, and John was taken, that John didn't necessarily die. Again, this is a tradition thing, according to mainly Catholic tradition, and there's no proof. However, John is the only disciple whose body hasn't been claimed by someone. You know, most Catholic churches, they keep relics of their patron saint. Saint Peter, his body is held and is revered in the location of Saint Peter's Basilica. Saint John, the other disciples all have been claimed by different churches. This is the body of St. Thomas. This is the body of St. Jude and things. But John is the only one of the disciples that claim is not made of. So we don't know. Again, that's extra biblical. It's nothing that is important to our faith. Just kind of an interesting thing. The last question, and I'm going to spend a little time on this because it kind of gives us a leaping off place to talk about something. Which of these epithets has not been traditionally used to refer to St. John? St. John the Revelator? St. John the Theologian? St. John the Divine? Or St. John the Martyr? And the correct answer is St. John the Martyr. I kind of gave away that answer. 70% of the players in this quiz got that answer correct. All of the disciples except John were martyred. John lived to be about 98 years old and was taken or died in about the year 100 or 101 A.D. John was the longest living disciple. Tradition also has it that John was the youngest of the disciples that Jesus called. I think that's interesting. God wants us for our whole lives. Peter was an older man when he was called, not old by my measure, but old by some of yours, but he was more mature. He had established a life prior to being called. John, though, was a younger man. Some say that he might have even been in his upper teens at the start of Jesus' ministry, which would make the age and dates a little off based on what I just told you. But tradition has it that John was the youngest of the disciples called, and he was also the longest lived. As I mentioned, most of the disciples became martyrs. And I'd like to go through those a little bit just to indicate the level of commitment that the disciples had as they served, as they did the work that Christ called them to do. A lot of this information comes from Fox's Book of Martyrs, and we can review those, or you can look into those. I've never actually read the entire book, but it is a very well-researched and scholarly journal. Simon Peter, we know the story of Simon Peter a little bit. He was appointed by Jesus to be the leader of the church. And Roman Catholics view him as the first pope. And he was eventually martyred in the city of Rome under the reign of Emperor Nero. And the story goes that Peter didn't want to be crucified. He was sentenced to be crucified, but he didn't want to be crucified in this. He didn't see himself as worthy of suffering the same death that Jesus died. And so according to tradition, he asked to be crucified upside down. And, again, according to tradition, the officials in Rome were more than happy to comply with this request. There are some people who have written that crucifying someone upside down would actually prolong life a little bit, because the brain is not deprived of the blood like you would be if you were upright, and it actually keeps you conscious longer, and the agony would have been greater. So this is the death that this is the martyrdom that Simon Peter incurred. His brother Andrew went to Western Greece in about the year 69, and the Roman proconsul Agiatus debated religion with him extensively, and tried to get Andrew to recant his Christian faith. And Andrew refused to do this, and so the proconsul of that area got angry with him, and in response really tortured Andrew in a terrible way. He was scourged and then tied rather than being nailed to a cross. And the result of that was that he spent a couple of days on the cross before he died. Another thing that's said about Andrew is that his cross was not in the shape of a normal cross, but an X. And some believe that symbol of X is the cross of Andrew is revered in some places, and in also the Eastern Orthodox tradition a little bit more than here. James, John's brother, is typically known as James the Greater, because there were two men named James in the group of disciples, James the Greater, James the Lesser. In Acts 12, verses 1 through 19, tells a story that James was killed by a sword at the hands or at the direction of Herod Agrippa, who, in order to make himself look good in the hands of the Roman authorities in Rome, decided to persecute the leaders of the new Christianity. And after James was arrested and led to a place of execution, his accuser was moved by the bravery and courage of James, and repented and recanted his story and converted to Christianity on the spot, and was actually executed next to James. Both men were beheaded simultaneously. And the disciple Philip, who was the first of Jesus' disciples, became a missionary to Asia. And eventually he traveled to the Egyptian city of Heliopolis, where he was scourged, thrown into prison, and crucified in about the year 54 AD. Bartholomew preached in several countries, including India, where he translated the Greek Gospel of Matthew into the local language for believers. According to accounts, impatient idolaters, quote unquote, beat Bartholomew and then crucified him. And other accounts have him being beaten, skinned alive, and then beheaded. Thomas preached the gospel in Greece and India, and got on the wrong side of local authorities, who then martyred him by running him through with a spear. According to legend and tradition, Matthew, the former tax collector, he turned missionary in Ethiopia, where he was supposedly stabbed in the back by a swordsman sent by King Hyrtacus after he criticized the king's morals. James the Lesser, was elected by his fellow apostles to be the leader of the churches in Jerusalem, and he actually lived almost, and some say, longer than John. He was 94 years old when he was beaten and stoned by persecutors, and then killed, who then killed him by hitting him in the head with a club. Thaddeus, also known as Judas or Jude. According to several stories and traditions, he was crucified at Edessa, which are cities. There's two cities named with this name, and they're not sure whether this occurred in the city in Greece or the city in Turkey, but that occurred in the year 72 AD. And Simon the Zealot, preached on the west coast of Africa. And then he sojourned to the area of the world that's now known as England. And he was crucified then on that island in about the year 70 AD, 74 AD. So all of the disciples but John were martyred. But John was not. John had an important role to play in the revelation of God's plan for end times, which we've studied extensively in this hour. But these men had courage, they had conviction, and they knew because they had seen the things that Jesus said and did. And it's important for us to know what they went through, to know the conviction that they had, to know the depth of understanding that they had. This is why it's important to know and study these peoples and their lives, I think, because it gives us courage. It gives us we don't stand against persecution. We don't face the persecution that they did. And if we had, where would we be? What would our convictions be? I pray that we don't ever have to face this type of persecution, but, we don't know what we'll have to endure, what we'll have to face in times to come. And their examples can serve as an example to us, both in our lives and in the depth that we need to study. We need to read. We need to understand the things that we believe. We need to be ready to give an answer for that faith that's in us. So let's remember that as we go throughout our day. I have a couple of pictures. I didn't make a slideshow. I started one, but when I was getting ready to leave my office on Friday, I looked at my computer and I thought, I don't want to take that home. I'm not going to do any work. So it's at work. But, if you want to see the pictures that I have, I only have a couple. You're welcome to come up and I'll show you those. So thank you for your attention. It's been a short time, so let's enjoy the fellowship that we have together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time that you've given to us, for being with us, for your word, which gives us the truth, and for the historical accuracy that we see in the Bible. Many things have been proven by looking to the Bible and saying, yes, this has happened because it says it here. That's why this makes sense. You've given us your word, and we look to it for the truth, for answers, and nowhere else. Watch over us in this day and be with us in the hour to come, that we might learn how to serve you better. We thank you for the disciples and their examples to us, that we can gain comfort from the fact that you were with each one of these men until they were taken from this earth, and that you will be with us until the end. That's your promise to us, and we thank you for it. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.